B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
84-54. Hayward steps to his left. Quick three. Got it. When it rains, it pours, and it is thundering down on the Grizzlies right now.
Save some of that, boys.
87-54. It's a 40-point turnaround in 15 minutes.
All right, so it's a highlight from last night as the Celtics back up their win over the Lakers with a blowout win over the Memphis Grizzlies. And don't laugh, the Grizzlies playing well. It won like 7 of 8 prior to last night, I think.
Yeah, yeah. One of the hotter teams in the league, yeah.
So, and I think they backed up with effort and energy, everything against L.A. So that was an encouraging sign. They played good D, hustled. Jason Tatum went back-to-back. He got dinged up and had to leave with a groin. But I think overall, that's what I was looking to see.
He had 21 in the first half, Tatum. He was engaged again.
And right from the hop. And I was worried about that, that they get a little bit of a puffed out chest, inflated head after that Lakers win and sort of drift back, but they did not. So maybe that Lakers win woke them up. Maybe this is, they'll get back on track to being the team we thought they were going to be. At worst, the second team in the East. And as you heard in the promo there coming back, it is Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings, our new presenting sponsor here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, DraftKings. Now sponsors Felger and Maz. Your thoughts on the Celts last night?
So look, again, I mean, they blew doors. You know, it was a little skittish at the very beginning of the game because obviously, you know, Memphis had, I don't know, at one point like a 7-point lead or something like that. I don't remember the exact number. But once the Celtics started clicking about halfway through that first quarter, it blew doors. So I was happy to see, as much as anything, Tatum sustain it because he looked like a different guy in that Laker game. I put an emphasis on Tatum, and I put an emphasis on Brown, who didn't play last night. So I want to see those guys bring it night in and night out. The consistency, to me, is what ultimately is going to determine whether those guys are great players or not.
Okay. Because
the ability's there.
And so, just quickly, I just was impressed defensively because it was a game in that first quarter, and then Memphis was, I mean, they were just frazzled. It's like they buttered the ball for the rest of the game. They couldn't get a shot off. They couldn't find any open man. So there was no dip defensively. I was happy to see that because I thought defensively they were also good against L.A. on Monday.
Okay, so the Celtic thought of the day, though, is the Celtics as a young team and how they stack up in the league. I mean, we consider them one of the best young teams in the league, right?
Sure.
Yes.
With the brightest future in the league, or one of them. Do they? Because Memphis is another team. Memphis is another team now here that you have to consider with Morant and Jackson.
Correct.
And so I know Maz has been on this before. And you say, what are the best young duos in the league? Is Brown Tatum the best young duo in the league? Is Brown Tatum the best young duo in the league, Maz?
No.
Are they even top three?
It's close. And so, and when I say it's close, here's my point.
Here comes the Maz Young Duo NBA Power Rankings is what we're doing.
So, and I really started thinking about this. And again, a lot of this has been emphasized by who the Celtics have played lately and also what has gone on around the league. And allow me to explain. Phoenix was in here, you know,
Saturday.
A week ago. Yeah, not even a week ago. DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker. I mean, if I'm a Suns fan and I have those two guys, and I understand Phoenix has been picking up high for years, but those two guys, I'm looking at it going, we got a chance. We got a chance to be pretty good. I don't know, you know, I don't know if management can follow through or they can attract a free agent or whatever. But in terms of the core young players.
Would you rather have Booker and Ayton or Brown and Tatum?
I would lean Brown and Tatum there because.
Oh, you changed your mind because the last time we asked.
I worry a little about Ayton. The more research I do, the more I worry a little about Ayton. But if Ayton was the number one pick in the draft, I have a...
In terms of his makeup?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a bias towards big guys. So if Ayton develops, I'd rather be Phoenix. If Ayton... I just think there's a question there. But if you're a Suns fan, then you're in pretty good shape. You are in pretty good shape with those two guys. Last night, as you said, Morant and Jackson... And this is a good day to bring it up because Zion came back last night.
So the jumping off point is that the big news in the NBA was Zion Williamson last night making his debut for the Pelicans. He scores 22 points in like 21 minutes.
17 minutes. And he scored 17 points in a row at one point.
He scored 17 consecutive points for the Pelicans in the fourth quarter to bring him back before taking a seat. So that's a jumping off point, too. So would you rather have Brown Tatum or Morant and Jackson?
I'd rather have Brown Tatum again because I have some doubts about Jackson. So, but again, it's close.
Morant might be the next big thing.
He might be. He's the number two pick in the draft behind Zion, and he's a stud. And so, and he was a consensus number two. Like, he was going to go high in the draft. So, again, I would tell you, if I'm Memphis, if you're a Memphis fan, you feel pretty good about it? I would.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If you're a Phoenix fan, would you feel pretty good about it? I would. And I look at some of the other teams. Denver, that's a given. Okay? Jokic and Jamal Murray, 24 and 22 years old. Denver fans love that. Philly loves their guys. Embiid and Simmons, you don't. But Philly loves them.
I'm asking you. Embiid and Simmons or Brown Tatum?
Embiid and Simmons.
Yeah, see, I'm taking Brown Tatum.
More dominant. More dominant. In fact, I lean towards the two that Denver have over the two that you have. And again,
okay, I'll grant you that before the Philly two.
Jokic and Murray. And so again, and the age is important too, right? 24 and 22. Brown and Tatum are 23 and 21. Like the development curve.
And Booker's a little older too, isn't he?
He is. I also put his age. Booker is also 23. Ayton's 21.
Oh. I thought they were older.
So they're basically at the same point in their development. Now, Philly's guys are a little older, 25 and 23. So you could say, well, they should be farther ahead of Brown and Tatum anyway because of the age. And so, you know, I mean, I'm allowing to factor all that in.
Let me ask you this right now.
You realize there's like, depending on who you include and who you don't, there's like 8 to 12 teams in the league now that have two good young players that they would deem to be a nucleus.
Yeah, I mean, you're forgetting one obvious one.
Go.
That's Dallas.
Okay, so Dallas is on my list.
Okay.
Doncic is 20.
I mean, he's
20.
He's going to get MVP consideration. And I know Porzingis is who you'd pair him with, and he hasn't really been that good of a fit there. But for me, you could put Doncic with a mannequin, and I'm taking that duo over anyone else.
And a lot of people would agree with you, Murray. Again, you know, I made a few calls today just to pick people's brains about it. And Porzingis is 24, so he's on the older side in that window, and he's coming off a major injury and missed a whole season. So there might be a rust element there, but if he plays to his peak, that's a good one. And I would lean that way.
Let me ask you one more.
Okay.
Take out market and franchise, just rosters.
Yep.
Who would you rather be, the Pelicans or the Celtics?
Okay, so this I have that on my list too. Zion and Brandon Ingram. And in that case, Zion's 19, Ingram's 22. Ingram's having a breakout year. So I look at Zion and say, that's a franchise-altering talent.
I'm also terrified of that injury.
So
you should be terrified of his weight.
So he was fat last night.
His weight is an issue.
Holy crap, was he fat.
I've heard this in the people I've talked to, that that's the word, that he has to lose weight, and his conditioning is a big issue, and that's contributed to his injury.
Yeah, good luck in that city.
So number one, good point. So when I first saw the highlights of last night's game, the first thing I said was, he's huge.
Yep.
He's huge. And so he's got to lose weight. He was lighter at Duke. I don't know what the hell he's been doing, but clearly he's been eating.
Careful, the internet's trying to cancel Mark Jackson for saying the same thing last night.
So really?
Ugh, we just live in the stupidest time.
No. Wait a minute. They're trying to fire an analyst for saying a guy's gained weight?
Yeah, Mark Jackson's in trouble because
he's in trouble because he said Zion's overweight.
Yeah.
That's Zion's overweight.
It's the world we live in now.
He is fat.
Yeah, no, but what are you supposed to do about
that? You're fat shaming.
He's fat.
He's an athlete. Your physical condition is part of the job. It's part of the analysis.
He's fat.
Yeah, no, he is. It's pretty obvious.
He's overweight.
He's 19. He's carrying an extra 15 or 20.
Oh, we live in the stupidest time ever. He's fat.
And he has a knee injury that's kept him out until last night. Like, that's a thing that you can legitimately be concerned about if you're a fan of the league or a fan of the Pelicans.
And him being overweight is contributing to the knee.
Yeah.
Hi, yi, yi.
So when you go around the league, okay, all I'm saying is this. We love Tatum and Brown here, and I get it. Okay, I like them a lot, too. I do, despite how I sound. But when you look around, no, I'm not kidding.
No, you have a tonality problem.
I mean, I do. I like them a lot, too. I told you, Brown's improved tremendously. Tatum, I want to see sort of lose some of that too cool for school thing, and I want to see the other parts of his game developing. And they are. He's passing the ball better. He's rebounding better. He's certainly defending better. Also, he's improving, too. I mean, big steps there. I like what they have. My question is, how much better off are you really than some of these other teams?
Give me your power rankings.
So I didn't do power
rankings.
Come on.
I want them.
Okay, I would take Denver's tandem ahead of yours. I would take Phillies ahead of yours.
Yeah.
I lean towards Dallas ahead of you, and I lean towards New Orleans ahead of you. And some others I don't even have on this list. Okay? Like, for example, Atlanta, a lot of people like John Collins and Trae Young.
Trae Young's awesome.
Okay? They love those two. I like the Celtics tandem better. Sacramento has De'Aaron Fox, you know, Marvin Bagley. Like, there were some, you know, some people like Sacramento's team. I like the Celtics better.
Same. That team's actually taken a step back this year, too.
But Memphis, Ja Morant, and Jaren Jackson, that's close.
How about Minnesota?
Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins. I'm down on Wiggins. I love Towns, but I'm down on Wiggins. So I lean to the Celtics because I think Wiggins is a bum. And people tell me he's improved this year. I haven't seen enough of him to know. But if you tell me I can get rid of one of the two, Brown or Tatum, and get Karl Anthony Towns, I would do it.
So here's, you know,
you make yourself better.
I have big concerns about DNA, makeup of Brown and Tatum, if they can keep their heads screwed on straight and not get a inflated sense of self-worth and get over cocky and, you know, like a big issue. Like, that's, I think, because the talent's there. It's the intangible that I don't know about with them. But that's the case for all these guys.
A lot of them.
It's the case for the whole league.
Yeah.
I mean, Zion Williamson, can he stay in shape?
Correct.
Does he have conditioning / eating problems? Karl Anthony Towns, what has that guy ever won? And you, as you said, Andrew Wiggins, what, you know, what's his makeup? Joel Embiid? Please, I'd have huge worries about him and his head and his headspace and where he's at.
Yep, he's got a lot of attitude issues.
So, and you know, I'm not even talking about physical abilities. You know, Ben Simmons, is he ever going to learn how to shoot? I don't know anything about his character. Seems fine. Seems like a hardworking, good kid, but I don't know. But there's so many of these guys you look at and you say, well, they have to grow up.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're going to be.
Well, it's a huge variable in that league. It is. I'm telling you, I like the makeup of Morant. I mean, Morant to me feels like a kid that wants to play hard. And so I like what I see there, again, consistency, but he's got talent and he looks like he plays with energy pretty much every night. And he's not good every night, but I don't think he's a dog.
And you hear that thing about how he likes to pass early on to get all of his teammates involved? Like, he's not just ball.
It's not just about him and his stats.
It's not just glory hog. Yeah. I mean, he'll take over and he does take over, but I thought Gorman or someone said it last night that that's his MO. He usually is a facilitator early on to get everybody involved.
You yeah. like that.
And the other guy, the other guy that everyone loves for obvious reasons because of the intangibles is Doncic. I mean, Doncic shows up every night. He gets people involved.
He gives you wow moments pretty much every night. That kid is an absolute stud.
Dynamite. I mean, dynamite. And I would
look
say,
at his numbers, too. Like, and I know, you know, sometimes the numbers are skewed and you hate, like, triple-doubles, but he basically is averaging 30-10-10 a night. He's unbelievable.
Phenomenal player.
Talks trash like Bird. Like, he's unreal.
And he's 20.
Right.
He's 20. I mean, the other thing that, the reason I find Zion interesting is because he elevates other guys. Like, you talk about guys who rub off on other players and make the team better because of the way they play. If Zion's head is screwed on and he's not fat, he's not freaking eating the ball rack before he gets out on the floor for warm-ups, for crying out loud, he looked like he just stuffed basketballs down his throat like he was popping marshmallows. Holy crap. Like, way too fat for a guy who's 19. But if he's dialed in, he makes other guys better, which is why if I were a New Orleans fan, I'd feel pretty good about it.
There's your Celtics Minute. You can weigh in and add it to our list of calls right after this. Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings, returns.
Felger and Mass. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ball, left corner, Frank. Floated into Zion. Aldridge on him. Up top, Lonzo. Stutter step back to Zion. Oh, my. Step back three. Left way! Swish! No! This is not happening!
There's a Zion Williamson highlight for you there. You can add the Celtics stuff to our football conversation. Talk about the Patriots roster, lack of young talent, problems drafting. There's a little update on the Brady situation as well.
Just real quick on Zion. Did you guys see any of the clips of that?
And we and we have the Celtics Zion Williamson conversation. I'm sorry, go.
His three, that stroke is pretty smooth for a big man. I don't know if I've seen that before from a guy that size.
I mean, it's one of the questions about him is whether or not he's going to be able to shoot. He went 4 for 4 from three last night. And again, it looked fluid. He needs space to get it off, right? He's not a jump shooter. He needs room. But, I mean, the guy was first game, 15 pounds overweight. He gets 22 points in 17 minutes. Seriously, it was the first thing that struck me. How could you not notice that? They show the highlights of him. He's the next big thing in the league. And his first game, he's fat. Seriously, like, dude, come on. Take it seriously.
Big warning sign.
If I were them, I would sign some sort of veteran. Maybe they already have one. But some sort of veteran is going to say, dude, do you understand what is at your fingertips here? Like, this guy's had as much hype since who? LeBron? And he's not LeBron. Right? He's not going to be LeBron.
No, but he's in that class of franchise-altering player.
I mean,
the hype machine are surrounding him.
When's the last time there was that kind of buzz around a guy like number one pick in the draft?
Right.
You know, like, there's Markelle Fultz. This guy's different.
No, this was dead. Think of how ESPN completely rearranged their college basketball schedule last year to make sure that they were getting him in on prime time, and you could see him.
And like, you're not in shape?
And bad you're not sign. In shape. Bad sign.
In a town with beignets and etouffee and some of the best eating in the country. Well, good luck.
Oh, seriously.
But Murray's saying they're on Mark Jackson because he fat shamed him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Hey, it's not okay to be overweight. It's not okay. It's not. I want to blame millennials for this.
Remember, he blew out the sneaker, too.
Yeah,
remember
right.
That? Yeah. How do you blow up a sneaker?
Gets hurt a lot.
Being out of shape and overweight is not okay. It's not okay. I mean, we're all human. We all, have lapses and all this. And, like, no one's perfect, but it's not okay. It's not okay for a guy to have a career based on his physical status, his physical ability, his physical condition, and to be overweight. That's not okay.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, particularly a pro athlete who's 19.
And it wasn't just, a-holes on Twitter that were trying to get Mark Jackson fired last night. You even have the Ringer, Bill Simmons thing. The Ringer's NBA Twitter account skewering Jackson last night, saying, Zion, if you see this, don't listen to Mark Jackson. We think you just look terrific. Hashtag body positivity.
Body positivity? What if your body's a problem? What if you're in bad shape and a health risk to yourself? Is that okay?
You wouldn't say that about Lizzo, Felger.
Is that okay?
The Athletic's Sam Vensey tweeted, it would be great if the announcers didn't feel the need to call Zion fat 3 minutes into his career. Would make for a much better product, in
Why?
My opinion.
Oh, he is. He's overweight. Fat.
Yeah, he's overweight.
And that's not okay. It's not okay to be overweight. It's not okay. It's not right. It's not okay. I mean,
as a pro athlete, right?
I mean, as a human being.
Some people can't help it.
And believe me, I've been overweight for a lot, most of my adult life. That's not okay. That wasn't okay. It's not okay.
Yeah, I have a bigger problem with it as a pro athlete.
I mean, as a pro athlete, it's part of your job, so it's beyond not okay. I mean, that's your job. That's your livelihood. And as sports commentators, you are allowed to comment on someone's physical being because that's the deal.
Yeah, I'm not fat shaming. People interpret it as fat shaming. I'm dumping on an athlete who's out of shape. That's what I'm doing. And I look at Zion Williams and say, dude, you're 19. You have the world at your fingertips. Do you understand what you could be? Like, again, if I were the Pelicans, I don't know who the obvious or easy guy to call is. Like, there's lots of guys you could pick. But you go to some guys who blew it because they couldn't, keep it together. Whether it's Oliver Miller or, Big Baby Davis or some guy, and say, talk to one of those guys and see how much money they blew. Or Antoine Walker. Or you bring in a Barkley, who Barkley had was a thick kid. Like, and you get Barkley and say, dude, get your head screwed on. There's hundreds of millions for you out there if you can do it.
Okay, so anyway, there's that. To your phones, as promised. John in Foxborough. Go ahead, John.
Thank you very much for having my call. Brady's been here for 1 million years. He's left a lot of money on the table, supposedly. I don't know if we really know that or not, to help the Patriots. I don't know what they've ever really brought in with that money that they've saved. He has earned the right to go out and, get his beak wet, see what's available. The other thing is, number two, can you imagine if Brady went to Miami and came back and we saw him twice a year? The first time he comes back to, Foxborough, there will be a standing ovation that you will be able to hear in Portland, Maine.
Oh, John, it'd be
Thank
so good.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, the hype of that week.
I'd be able to hear in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, I can barely contain myself. Just the thought of it. Brady versus Bill. Oh, the Bill Bowl. Brady Bowl 1. Brady Bowl 2. Brady Bowl 3. I'm getting tingly. I just think about it. I pray to the Take Lord every night that I get something like that.
Oh, I'm getting blood flow with you just talking about it.
That's so... Oh, I'm...
Take cryoprism, right?
I would love it. Oh, I would love nothing more than that. But the call said they should let him test free agency like they owe that to him. I think the smartest play is to let him test free agency now. Give him permission to talk to other teams.
And maybe they have.
I keep asking if this is even allowed. I hope it is, because it makes sense for everyone for this to be settled before we get to mid-March. So for Brady to be fully comfortable and confident, and to, you know, he fought to play the field. He fought with that franchise tag to go out and market himself. So give him that opportunity before, screw the deadline. Just give him permission to go market himself and talk to other teams. And he can find out what he's worth. He can find out exactly what the market is. It's all above board. And that's the way you get it settled before mid-March.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Patriots should be willing to do that, too, if they're so eager to get an answer, according to that Adam Schefter report, that they're not going to let this thing drag on. So just because the caller said it, I don't disagree that Brady has earned the right to see what he's worth. I mean, he's the most accomplished player in his sport. No two ways about it. So, but I would also say the fact that he has been as underpaid as he has been over his career is partly his fault.
Yeah.
Partly, not entirely, because the rules in that league don't allow you to become a free agent if you're good, which to me defeats the purpose.
Well, no, but he's always been willing to handle it a certain way, and now he gets to the very end when he should be giving money back.
Correct.
Like, this is the time of his career when he should be on a discount. This is when he decides to say, no, I want to be at the top of the market.
Right, too late.
A little backwards.
Yeah, too late. I mean, you know, it's like the old learning how to say hello when it's time to say goodbye.
James in the car on the Celts. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Regarding the Celtics, I think you're going a little too hard on Tatum and Brown. But keep in mind that this team, the growth of this team was stunted for the last 2 years with that whack job Kyrie. And I would even throw into that, honestly, Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier. That was just,
Let me give you one more, James. Does Gordon Hayward being here, is that the best for Tatum and Brown? Or is that stunting him too?
Well, you haven't heard, you heard for those 2 years how much playing time Brad's little boy got. Have you heard it this year?
Not as much, but it's still sort of the same. Kyrie, no question, I think, set the team back. I mean, that
and Rozier for sure. Morris, I don't know. There was a toughness that he added. I thought I liked Morris. I thought he was a decent add to this team last year.
Did he take away minutes and opportunities?
Oh, sure,
for the guys that needed him.
Sure.
So they did not really go all in with that youth movement. But to me, that's sort of a secondary. It's how hard are these guys going to work? How humble are they going to stay? How many little things are they going to be willing to do to become complete players and championship caliber players? Because that's what it's going to take. If they think they've arrived and they think they're already LeBron and whatnot, then you're toast.
Correct.
But that's the thing with every young player. When you look at all those young duos you were mentioning, there's character questions on most of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the huge variables in the development of those players, right? I mean, you've made this point a million times, but I think it's a good one. Giannis.
Now, well, see, that his makeup... I'm into.
So what really makes Giannis special, I mean, the athletic ability is one thing, but if he were a dog,
he busts his ass.
Well, so that's the thing, right? It's he has a lot of those guys in that league have the ability.
Zion, look at
not
that.
Not like him.
Look at that guy's conditioning. How do you think he works?
And he was a rail when he came into the league. He had the opposite problem, right? He was too thin, too weak. Look at him now. And again, no matter what's at work there.
Yeah.
Okay, like because every league has parameters. Like ultimately, you got to pass tests. So, but he's clearly committed to it. He's committed to getting better, and he takes it seriously.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Austin's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, Patriots draft, lack of success at the draft and the paucity of young players or young talent on the roster is an issue. We had a Brady watch update from Adam Schefter. They're not going to wait till March 18th for Tom to make up his mind. They want to have an answer from him sooner. That was according to Schefter. Discussed Eli Manning. This is Celtic stuff. Whatever you want. Back to your calls. Here's Greg in Dighton on the drafts. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I was just wondering, like in the past 10 years with the Patriots run that they've been on, how deep they've gone in the playoffs, has that set them back on the draft because Bill hasn't enough time to evaluate the younger players?
I think that's fair. I mean, I thought you were going to throw a draft position at me, which is if they're picking at the bottom of the draft, it's harder for them to have success, which I'll give them a little bit of a dispensation for. I think they've been hurt more by cheating. I mean, they've lost two first-round picks from cheating, which is a bigger hit than drafting 29th as opposed to 17th in a given year. But I think that thing about, this is why you have scouting staffs. So while you're in the playoffs, your scouting staff should be somewhere. But if Bill has such a big role in it, I think that's maybe a fair thing to bring up. Like this week is the Senior Bowl in Alabama, which is this college all-star game where all the coaches that are available, not in the playoffs, go down and work the players out for a full week and get a really good look at some of these guys. And for the first time in forever, Bill's there this week.
That's right. This reminds me, too, because a buddy of mine I worked with in Atlanta was there when Garoppolo was there. I remember Garoppolo having like a really good Senior Bowl. I want to know if he was there that time.
So if that was in 2014...
They got knocked out early in 2013. Oh, no, AFC Championship game. They lost in Denver, so he would have been able to go.
I guess he would have been able to go. Yeah, he would have. Right, so, I mean, I think they have gotten late starts on the offseason because they go so late. I think that's, so let's see. They have a full offseason now. Bill gets to go to all the camps, all the workouts, all everything. Hopefully that leads them to turn it around because they need a turnaround at the draft.
I mean, my gut tells me it's a convenient excuse. Like, they went to the Super Bowl in 2011, right? 2012, they got Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower. Pretty good draft.
Yeah, and if you just want to play that out, they win 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, and from 2000 to 2005, they drafted Brady, Seymour, Light, Branch, Givens, Ty Warren, Asante Samuel, Dan Copen, Vince Wilfork, and Logan Mankins. Going to 3 out of 4 Super Bowls didn't prevent them from drafting those guys, or drafting low didn't prevent them from drafting those guys.
Right. So is it that they're making deep playoff runs, or is it that Bill's laying belly up on a dock in the Caribbean?
Right. Well, I think that affected them with free agency. I mean, like, look at the guys that they were late on or, it felt last second on, like Adam Humphries, and he's boobs out at the beach, and someone else is maybe trying to get him, and he keeps going to voicemail.
So free agency, I'll grant you. Boobs out at the beach hurt him at free agency. The draft... I'm not going to put any stock into any of this. Draft position, time to work in the camp. You know what it is?
The nature of the draft.
It's a hit and miss deal. And when it comes to the draft, Bill is more like everybody else. As a coach, he's better than everybody else, and he's figured things out beyond everybody else and is at a different level. As a GM, he's just more like everybody else. You get hot, you get cold. Tim in Holland. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Two quick points. One is... I think Josh McDaniels not taking a job this year kind of screwed him because, I mean, I think he's a fraud, and next year he's not going to have Brady to make him look good. And my second point is, I've been hearing all year long that this is going to be, like, the best wide receiver draft in, like, 20-plus years. And the fact that the Patriots took a wide receiver in the first round last year instead of a tight end is kind of mind-boggling to me because people have been talking about this draft for, I don't watch college, but that's just what I've been hearing.
So
that... The wide receivers coming out this year are amazing.
Okay, they might be. It feels like last year was a really good wide receiver year.
I was just going to say that.
Young wide receivers all over the place lighting it up. You just picked the one guy that couldn't do it. But, I mean,
right.
and not even up high. There was second, third round, but there were lower drafted guys.
The guy that went in the fifth round of the Giants is good.
I mean, so they're all over the place. You just didn't find them. So I don't need to hear that. This is a deep year. This is not a deep year. There were plenty of guys last year, and you missed.
So you know what? I think this relates to McDaniels, too. Like, because, again, I think that, you know, you have a Brian Flores in Miami just change offensive coordinators because the offense was too complex and they needed it too hard for the young guys to pick up. And McDaniels has been a part of this, too. He does raise a good point, though. We might get an answer on McDaniels this year if there's a new quarterback, unless he goes with Brady.
Okay, I like Josh McDaniels and the young quarterback. He helped develop Garoppolo. He got a really good year out of Matt Castle, who was nothing. You know, so I thought Stidham showed a little something Josh is a head coach. I still think he deserves a head coaching job, but as a young quarterback, I feel like he's done some good work with those guys.
Fair point.
Even Brissett. So, I mean, I think he's got something there. We continue with the Brady watch. Schefter had something interesting to say earlier on today. You'll hear that coming up. And our old friend Colin Coward was at it as well. You'll hear from him in our long commercial-free segment next.
Austin's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Man.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. So Belichick's a brilliant guy. Why would he give a quarterback that he knew was going to be great away for a second-round pick? Jimmy Garoppolo's in the Super Bowl. And I'm not a conspiracy guy. But why would Belichick give the Niners a quarterback to the best offensive coach in football, the young guy, and not demand picks back? He wanted to ensure Garoppolo's excellence to prove a point. I wanted to move off. This was my guy. And he's going to ensure that he's great. Nobody is happier in the world that Garoppolo is in a Super Bowl than Bill Belichick. Bill would love to be facing him. But nobody is happier in the world, other than the Shanahan family, that Garoppolo's in than Belichick, because it proves Bill right. Bill had his guy. Bill wanted to go. Bill wasn't allowed to. Bill had to trade him, so he was going to guarantee Garoppolo worked. I'm trading you to the best young coach, and I'm not asking anything in return that will disrupt your potential dynasty. Is that crazy? Do you guys think I'm nuts on that?
What do you think, man? Our guy, or Maz, do you think our guy Colin Coward is crazy? You think he's nuts?
Well, I think he's right on this one. They can both be true, by the way. he can be a little crazy. But look, I think he's right. Bill said it. He said it in his press conference. Jimmy has a good coach. Why is that important? Since when does he care about that? Since when does he care about sending a player to a place where he can succeed? He buried just about everybody else he dealt out of here.
Yeah, I don't think he smoked up before that take, old Colin Coward. I think he's just using common sense. And I had to chop that up. Like, he really makes a case, too, that, like, Belichick not asking for anything else, knowing that the team, you know, was probably a few years away from really being competitive. So why do I want more when I want Garoppolo surrounded by as much talent as possible so it can help him succeed? So I don't want to cost him Nick Bosa or the McGlinchey the right tackle there. No, I'll just take a second round pick in return.
So again, like, you know, and I know you love these kinds of questions, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What do you think the Crafts think? Do you think the Crafts think Bill did what was in the best interest of the Patriots?
Nope.
Or do you think the Crafts look at it and say Bill wanted to make sure Jimmy's good because he wants to look good?
Yep. And I mean, this wasn't Bill's call, so he wasn't invested in the return because I'm being made to do this anyway.
Exactly.
This one ain't my fault.
I think Colin nails it. I think that was a big factor for Bill.
Mike and Attleboro had a good point. Mike and Woburn had a good point yesterday, which is that everyone was sort of acting for their legacy. Kraft's overruling Bill to keep Brady was about the Kraft's legacy because they don't want to be pinned with losing the greatest quarterback of all time.
Sure.
And they didn't have the, you know, the PR fallout was important to their legacy that Brady stay here. So they acted in what was because the Krafts are hard businessmen just like Belichick, and they generally believe that you move on early than late, and that's how they've conducted business here for 20 years on their roster. So why wouldn't they do it with Brady? Because their legacy. They don't want the hit on their legacy of letting Tom Brady go. So they acted selfishly for their legacy. Bill acted selfishly for his legacy. And neither did what was best for the organization. So
I mean, I think you could even argue to a degree Brady did the same thing. Like, now look, he's it's his self-interest he was more trying to preserve and self-preservation because Jimmy was a threat. But he also didn't help him. Like, there were a lot of elements there.
They locked him out of the training
totally.
Facility.
Yeah, I think they all got territorial about it, and ultimately they all acted selfishly.
Okay, so again, Super Bowl 54 with Jimmy Garoppolo. Expect more of this coming up in the next week and a half. Tim in Wakefield, bring us back.
You got that right.
Hey, Mike. So Tom Brady is such a weirdo. Are these reports real that he doesn't want to go and play for a team like Oakland or Denver or Miami because they're going to come and play in New England next season?
No idea, but Volan wrote it last week, and it has a whiff of truth to me, but I have no idea if it's actually true or not, Tim.
Because if that's true, have we been sold a false bill of goods on this guy that he is the greatest competitor that ever lived? I mean, like, I remember calling you guys a couple years ago when it was Jimmy or Tom, and, you know, and Tom exceeded everybody's expectations here. Tom won that, right? Tom beat Bill, and Tom won, and he exceeded everyone's expectations. You know, so but they don't want to keep him because he's too old.
Well, Tim,
and he's
let me just
money.
Stop you. He's the greatest competitor I've ever seen in my life. I mean, him, Jordan, right? I mean, Nicholas, what? I mean, he's in that pantheon, not just football players, but most competitive athletes you've ever seen in your life. Yet he's also kind of non-confrontational. Which is sort of weird, and it's just sort of a dichotomy of his personality. But it's true. He is kind of non. He's never challenged him on a contract until now, maybe, and I still haven't seen it. You know, that still is yet to be seen. Whether he'll so he's never really challenged them on a contract. He doesn't really. I mean, he's had back and forth with plenty of players on the field. Has he ever said anything about Terrell Suggs? Has he ever said anything about? I mean, I don't give me another one. Richard Sherman. I mean, I don't know. Like, whoever those guys would be to him.
No.
So he's, I mean, on the field, he wants to beat you. The stories are famous. You know, he wants to beat his sisters in ping pong. And, you know, it's just, he's a nut competitor, but he's also kind of non-confrontational. That's just part of his makeup.
Yeah, totally. Look, and the stuff with opposing players, I don't hold against them only because, you know, you could say, hey, man, you know,
well, I mean, I don't hold against him either. I'm just saying it's, He wants to rip their heart out on the field, but
it's
he never
a weird juxtaposition.
He never said anything off it,
right? But that also could be viewed at as being really well adjusted. Like, it's time to compete, but I'm not going to badmouth the guy off the field, right? But the contract thing's different, Mike, because the contract thing is I compete my ass off out there. Now I sit down at the table, and you expect me to not, you know, to just lose.
Well, he does.
I know. So that part to me, that's a mystery. Like, and again, I get the logic from people who defend Brady, and they say, no, that's precisely because he's so competitive on the field, he's willing to ensure that he has help. Except it doesn't really work that way.
Sean is in Quincy with an interesting thought, I think. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Two things, just one quickly, maybe on Brady's contract. Maybe Bill will put in a stipulation that makes him show up to passing camps. I don't know. I think maybe that's...
To me, that's Bill a must. It's a must,
yeah.
Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And two, so you were talking earlier, you said, I don't think it affects Brady that Garoppolo's leading his childhood team. Well, do you remember on the Brady Six when his dad said when the Niners passed on him, they took that personally? You don't think he's taking this personally? He holds all that stuff for 20 years. Pick 199, Giovanni Carmazzi taken before me, Chad Pennington, all that stuff to the nth degree. That stuff is what's fueled him for 20 years, and I think that's still probably bugs him right now.
Okay, but, I mean, maybe. Does it bug him that Garoppolo's having success? Probably. Yes, I can tell because the Brady crew in the media reflects it. Like, there's a reason that, you know, the Gastros of the world are so anti-Garoppolo, because I think that's reflective of how the Brady camp feels. But I don't think it's a factor that he's doing it for San Fran. Like, if Garoppolo were having success anywhere, I think that would just sort of agitate Brady, again, because of the competitive thing. Not that he'll ever express it, but I think it does agitate him. I can't see the thing where Brady's wearing his San Francisco 49ers underoos and has got his, you know, is upset because Garoppolo's doing it for the Niners. I just don't see it.
It's just a convenient coincidence.
His folks still live there, but what do his sisters live there? Don't they live all over the country? Don't they live here? Like, who else lives there?
Yeah, I don't think it's the Niners thing. Again, I think it turned out being the Niners, and it's a nice little sort of added element, if you want to call it that. But I think you nailed it. If Garoppolo were playing for Houston and they were Super Bowl caliber team, it would irritate the crap out of him.
And it looked like Bill got it right. You know, if Bill got it right on Garoppolo and he's playing anywhere, I think that thing, you know, agitates Brady a little bit. The Niner thing, I don't think he thinks that way, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Oh, Bill is like the cat that ate the canary right now. He's got freaking a smile on his face, feathers hanging out of his mouth. He is as happy as a pig in poop, for crying out loud. He's sitting there going, Jimmy's in the Super Bowl. Oh, he's loving it. He loves every second of it. Don't let him kid you.
All right, the Brady watch. Eli Manning and his retirement, both his Hall of Fame status and... what I think it's too bad that he doesn't want to keep going and get part of be part of the quarterback carousel across the league. That's on the table. We talked a little Celtics and Zion Williamson and their young duo. That's on the table. All of it to your calls on these items right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.